This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me in Missouri is our co-host for Saddle Up America, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I am doing great. I'm really excited about this show. This is going to be a lot of fun. And let's go ahead and jump in and tell our audience who we have joining us today.
We have a very exciting show for today. We have Andy Breland with Trailhead Supply and talk about his new reality show, Dead and Express. Then we travel to Moron, Wyoming and talk with Becky Palmquirk, manager of Heart Six Guest Ranch.
All right, so we're going to have a lot of fun out in the West in Montana and Wyoming today, and we're looking forward to this show. And as always, we remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian and Western lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And, of course, by our great show sponsors, Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org. And by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. Shop with Trailhead Supply at their website, trailheadsupply.com. So grab a big cup of coffee, get ready for a great show, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Andy Breland in Montana. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Come on, baby, let's go get lost. The county line is the only line we'll cross. No excuses, no hesitation. The great out there is our destination. Oh, honey, things will unravel when this rig hits the gravel. I love the road, let's travel. Baby, you and me on that Coulee Ranch road. On the dash, singing loud and proud, along with Johnny Cash. Trailing clouds, the dust and glory, cowgirl Cinderella story. Ah, baby, that's a lot for me. I wanna be on that Coulee Ranch road. We ain't driving fast, we're just flying low. Ah, happy ever after on this washboard road. And well, find a spot somewhere, step out and take some air, run your fingers through my hair, forget the world out there. Ah, honey, things will unravel when this rig hits the gravel. I love the road, let's travel. Baby, you and me on that Coulee Ranch road. Your hand on the wheel, my bare feet on the dash. Singing loud and proud along with Johnny Cash. Trailing clouds, dust and glory, cowgirl Cinderella story. Ah, baby, that's the life for me. I wanna be on that Coulee Ranch road. That Coulee Ranch road.
That's Mary Kay's Coulee Ranch Road, and we're happy to have Andy Breland, who is one of the stars of National Geographic Channel's new series, Deadhead Express. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm glad to be here.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you, young lady?
I am doing fantastic. Can't wait to talk about this new show.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people are eagerly awaiting the premiere of this, and let's just go ahead and mention that that is going to be premiering on May the 7th at 9 p.m. Central Time on the National Geographic Channel. And, Andy, let's start out talking about what this series is.
We start, the show is actually about five different adventurers. It sounds like I'm reading it right off Nat Geo's page. There's five of us, five groups that actually deliver supplies to those people that live off the grid, or as I put it, they got a really crappy driveway.
Right.
You know, they just don't live in town. And how do those people that live way out at the end of the world get their daily supplies and those necessities to maintain life out there?
Well, that's going to be interesting. Now, your segment, I think, is taking place in the Flathead National Forest.
We're in the Flathead National Forest up in northwest Montana, and we deliver everything by pack and saddle stock. We pull the gentleman that runs with me all summer long, normally anyway, Chuck Allen. He pulls a string of horses. I pull a mixed string of horses and mules, and we do what we normally do. It's we deliver, like the first episode is we deliver to a lookout tower. And those lookout tower, the fire watch team, they set up in those little 12 by 12 or 16 by 16 cabins, you know, from the time the snow melts to it starts snowing again. And they just set up on top of those rock peaks, watching out over the forest day in and day out. They don't get the luxury of being able to go to the grocery store.
Well, and so that's going to be exciting to find out more about your participation in this. I think that you shared with me yesterday that each of the episodes has three storylines. And
yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, what are the other two?
You know, I'm not sure 100% of, we haven't got to see a finished edition yet of any of the episodes. I think in the first episode on May 7th, it's Bryce is in, he runs a jet boat service and delivers supplies up and down the Snake River. And there's a bush pilot up in Alaska that flies in and delivers supplies in, but it's only available to those homesteads by plane.
Okay. Well,
and
it's going to be
that's the three. There's also a dog sled team and a snowmobile that pulls a freight sled in the winter.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch this, and a lot of interest, I know, from people to see how these folks that are not close to a grocery store get their supplies. But an interesting story that you shared was about how you came to be involved in this. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I'm sitting at the store at Trailhead Supply, and the phone was ringing, and I answered it, and this kid comes on, and he sounds younger. I never met him, and he says, "My name's Colin. I'm from Original Media." And I said, "You know, I really don't need any advertising." And he goes, no. And he hung up on him. And he called me back three times that first day. And then finally the next morning he calls me back and says, "Please do not hang up." And he says, I'm with Original Media. We contract to National Geographic. We're trying to make a series, and we would like you to be part of that. So I wrote down everything he told me. And then as soon as I got off the phone with him, I Googled it, and every entity that he told me about was a real company that I could find on the internet. So when my daughter showed up, who's partners with me in Trailhead, that night after she got off her real job, she stops by every night to see how bad I screwed the computers up during the day. She said, "It's a scam, Dad. It's a scam." And so I said, "No, I think this is real." And so I got a hold of Chuck that packs with me, and I said, "If this is real, do you want to do this with me?" And he said, "Yes." And so from there, we made a it was real. And then they introduced us to the guy that owns Rob Hill. He owns Punch Drunk, and that's the name of his company. And what he does is he comes up with TV show ideas or movie ideas, and then he puts them all together, and we made a sizzle reel. And then he pitched it to National Geographic, to do six episode season. National Geographic loved it so much they bought 8, and that's where we are today.
Oh, wow. Well, it's good to be cautious, but what a ride this has been for you so far.
Oh, it's been at times, you know, you think that this isn't really happening. You think that this is, you know, you're doing all this hard work, and by no means is it easy. I have yet to sit in a director's chair and have anybody fan me with a palm leaf or anything, keeping me cool. and bringing me over some ginger ale in a little glass. I'm saying that, and for those, because we're on radio and nobody can see this, we have a third member of our cast. Chuck and I get all the glory, if you will, from being on screen. But we had a third member, and it's a good friend of ours, Bud Parizak, and he's our wrangler, and he's the one that hauled all the strings of horses for the cameramen, and he was the behind-the-scenes backbone of the whole thing. And he wandered in just before we went on air, and he's sitting over here laughing with the ginger ale comment because he's over there shaking his head that he still hasn't seen the ginger ale. So, no, it was a lot of work. They were 16-hour days in and out. You know, they were trying to teach us to be TV stars, and we should have already known how to look this way and that way and not look at the camera and not look goofy, and we didn't know any of that, and they didn't know how to ride a horse, and we kept turning around and they were gone. We still had their horse, but they were gone. They fell off somewhere, and and they would crouch under a tree as we rode by when they were filming, and all the horses would turn and look at them like, what is that? And so then we'd have to do that shot over and over and over until basically the stock got desensitized to somebody crouching under a bush.
Oh, wow.
So it
wow.
was a lot of work. It was a big learning curve, but we would do it again in a heartbeat.
Well, we want to go into more detail about what happened during the filming of this and the length of time that it takes to film the segments that are in each show. But we do need to acknowledge another one of our show sponsors, so let's take a quick break and do that. And we want to talk about TrailGuard. That's 24-hour roadside travel assistance. With TrailGuard, you have unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving, or anyone driving your vehicle, and 24-hour personal assistant to help you plan your trip, and much, much more. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be talking again with Andy Breland and the making of a star, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Every day, along about evening, when the sunlight's beginning to fail, I ride through the slumbering shadows along the Navajo Trail. When it's nighttime and the crickets are calling and the coyotes are making their wail, I dream by a smoldering fire along the Navajo Trail. I love to lie and listen to the music of the wind strumming a sagebrush guitar, while over yonder the moon is climbing, and it always finds me wishing on a star. Well, what do you know?
Well, what do you know?
It's morning already.
Morning already.
And there's a dawn shining so silver and pale. It's time to climb on back of my saddle and ride that old Navajo trail.
Eon Espinosa with Along the Navajo Trail, and let's take a look at what goes on behind the scenes, Andy, of making one of these documentaries.
And documentary is a really loose term today. you know, there's a lot of stuff that none of us think about when we got into this. You know, we showed up at the trailhead, and We had three trailers of horses. We ran every day with between 18 and 24 head of horses and mules every day. And the stuff that you never think about, and our film crew tells us constantly, we had a great crew, and they film all the Alaska Survivor and that type stuff. And they said this was the hardest thing that they've ever done was filmed horse to horse.
Wow.
You know, they would ride ahead of us, and we were supposed to go around the corner with the pack strings, and they were going to film us coming. And so, but when they tie the horses up, there are horses, so you've split that herd. And as everybody listening today that has more than one horse, you know, you take it, the other one away from it, what do? They neigh, whinny, and nicker and call back and forth to each other, and it's all over the soundtrack, you know, of the horses calling. And they wouldn't tie them to a big tree. They'd tie them to something little, and they would pull the little tree out of the ground, and they'd come running right through the shot, dragging a little Christmas tree type, you know, with them. And they would, you know, but it's the little stuff. It's you know, we're asked all the time, is it real? You know, is it real, or is it all fantasy made up? Every storyline is actually real. We would start at the trailhead, and we would go to the lookout tower, for example, and we would take them their building equipment and their food source supply. But when we got there, for instance, on our first trip up the hill, you know, the guy wants his steak, you know, and we can't turn around and leave without giving him his food or the tools to do his job. So
right.
We would make the delivery, and then we'd run up and down the hillside, and the ice chest might not have steak in it anymore. But
right.
It starts as real. And the stuff that nobody realizes until you get in the middle of all this is that it takes so long to make an episode. And we thought we'd run out, film for a few hours, and go home. And it was we would go film, and it would take about a week. They were telling us we were averaging, an, you know, 4.5 to 5 days to make one 20-minute segment for a show.
Oh, wow.
And those 5 days are 16-hour days.
Wow.
And then if something didn't turn out right, or they missed something, or it looked good, you know, at the time, we might have to go back and go right back to the same spot and ride up the hill to do an interview or to do something else to fill in a spot that didn't turn out quite right. The sun was wrong or that, because, you know, there again, it's, they want a professional finished product. It's National Geographic. And it's far from like Jerry Springer. But it's the little stuff. It's like, they told us when we started, hey, go buy 3 shirts that match. So I did. They asked me what I normally wear when I pack. And I said, I wear T-shirts. and far from the Western wear apparel. You know, I wear T-shirts, and if you ever see a picture of me on Trailhead's Facebook page or anything, you know how hot it is outside by do I have a long sleeve T-shirt on, a short sleeve T-shirt, or a sleeveless T-shirt on. That's pretty much the barometer and the thermometer out there for me is, you know, and Chuck wears the Western shirts constantly. And so we went out, and I bought 3 T-shirts the same color, just like they told me. Chuck went out and bought 3 Western shirts of the same style, but not the same color. And there was an interpretation problem. So the second morning, he comes walking out of his horse trailer, and he's got a clean press shirt on. And the producer walks over and says, "Did you have that shirt on yesterday?" And he goes, "No, I had the other one on." And he says, "Well, why don't you have the shirt you had on yesterday on?" He goes, "Well, it was dirty." And he goes, "But it's still yesterday." And so because
for film purposes,
TV land.
You got to go into the TV land part of it that it takes days to create 20 minutes.
Right.
And we'd be out there, and you know, we got in a big thunderstorm rolled through, and we swung off the saddles real quick. The camera crews were covering up their cameras and putting these little raincoats on the camera gear that they have. And well, while they were doing that, we got off and we pulled our slickers on, and we were standing there, and they looked at us and said, "Where'd you get the raincoats?" And we said, "Off the back of the saddle." And they go, "Did we film you putting those on?" And we go, "I don't know." And they said, "Well, but the million viewers that's going to watch you don't know where you got the raincoats." So then we had to take them off, roll them back up, tie them to the back of the saddle, and then they would film us taking them off the saddle, putting them back on, so that when they edit the show and put all the pieces together, it makes sense where you got that raincoat from.
Right. I mean, you're not riding down the trail, and in the next second you've got a slicker on.
Yeah,
you
round the corner and you've got a raincoat on.
Right.
Because we have to, and that's the part that I don't think anybody out there, you know, in the viewer world, because I certainly didn't, never put all those pieces of the puzzle together, how complex continuity is in TV land.
Right.
Because you just take it for granted. You're riding down the trail, it starts raining, what do? You throw the slicker on.
Right. We were talking yesterday about some of the old Western movies that we watched where,
right.
You know, in one scene the guy's got one color horse, and, you know, in the next scene he's still riding across the prairie and his horses change colors all of a sudden.
Right. Well, you know, and we talked about that yesterday when we were visiting, that it was easier to go to, you know, to do that back even in the black and white days because, you know, it was a gray horse. Was it a light gray, a dark gray?
Right.
And, you know, that was a thing. We had the strings all made up, and we had to keep them consistent. They were all over us about make sure that we always rode the same horse. The next one was always the same. You know, for the most part, we changed them around for what we were doing, but we always had to keep them in the same line so that those color patterns were the same. Our producer was really picky about watching those color patterns go down the trail.
Right.
And then, you know, they didn't understand if we were up all day filming at a lookout tower, there's no water. It wasn't by no means, you know, animal abuse, or it was no mean, you know, nobody call PETA. They were all, you know, I said, you know, we got to find these horses some water. I mean, you guys are all standing around drinking bottled water.
But, you know,
the horses have to drink, too. We have to go down the hill to a creek and get these animals some water. They've been working hard all day, and they need water, too. It's just they're not accustomed to the whole horse thing.
Well, it was a learning experience for them and certainly a learning experience for you guys as you're going along. How much time, Andy, did you spend out on the trail at a time filming?
We were filming Monday through Friday. It started in August, and we filmed a sizzle reel, which is like a little trailer, a little longer than a trailer. And that's what they pitched to National Geographic. And then National Geographic got so excited over the whole idea of it and with the pack stock, because nobody does that. And the original plan was we were going to start filming season one this July here in a few months. But they got so excited, they jumped right on it. We started filming in September. And we ran all the way pretty steady into the week before Christmas into the snow.
Wow.
And we were filming Monday through Friday. We were filming Monday through Friday. On the weekends, my daughter had a special tag for hunting season that we were going after. So basically, I'd come home Friday night, switch animals around in the trailer, reload some food, and go the other direction to where a hunting unit that her tag was good for. And then we'd go start over. Monday mornings were interview days, and they did that in case I didn't make it back on time. And
right.
Interview days was we would go set someplace normally more local, closer to a road or a trailhead where we had easy access with technology, and they would film us. And as you watch the shows, and we all have, where they cut away from what's happening and you just have that waist-up shot of somebody with their name under it, and they would ask questions and they would explain what you're doing, that's what we filmed more locally just to get that done in case I didn't get back. They worked with me really well. But long story short, I lived on the back of a horse from Labor Day weekend until the week before Christmas almost every week, 7 days a week.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that all equates to about an hour and a half of TV time if you just counted the minutes that were actually going to be on air.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, those are just things that we don't think about, and that is how much time it takes to actually film and cut and edit so that you can get that 20 minutes that you want to air.
Well, and then, you know, we started out in green. All the trees were green. The leaves and the pine needles were vivid green. And then fall came on, and we gorgeous colors. Gorgeous colors. And the film crew had to leave for a couple weeks. They had to go film the jet boat guy for one particular thing, and so they left. And I had a producer in New York call and said, "Oh, those leaves are so pretty. Can we get back up and do some more stuff up in there?" And I go, "No, it's now snowing. Welcome to the Rockies." You know, the leaves are gone. You have a bunch of frozen sticks in the air, and we have snow on the ground.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just – and so now they're trying to figure out a different location, lower elevation, where we can go stand in front of, you know, some colored leaves to do an interview to insert into that color. So it's back to that consistency thing.
Right. Now, you told me that you have six episodes that you guys are in out of the eight. And in each episode, are you going to a different destination?
Yes, each episode, we're in six episodes. There's three storylines like we covered earlier for each episode, and we'll be in six of the eight. Each episode, we are going someplace totally different. And we're hauling something totally different. It's a unique storyline for each one. My disclaimer, I haven't seen them yet. But
right.
It should be really good. And if anybody out there is actually thinking about coming to Montana, you can see some breathtaking stuff because as they wrote in one of the local papers about it, National Geographic pulled out all the stops. And if nothing else, even if my acting ability is not good, which I can pretty much vouch for, the scenery is going to be breathtaking. They filmed us with drones. They were flying drones overhead and around the horses, and we saw some of the footage just rough cut because they had an app hooked to one of the cameraman's iPhones so they could plug it in, and we could see what they were filming, you know, on the little camera screen. But the pictures and the images are just absolutely breathtaking.
Well, National Geographic has always been known for their beautiful photography and beautiful scenery, so that's going to be something to look forward to. And two questions. Did you have fun? And would you do it again?
And did we have fun? Absolutely. I haven't bought a Ferrari yet with the money I made. Bud's over here laughing hysterically now because I wrecked his truck while we were filming, and we haven't got it fixed yet. So he drove all winter with no windows in the cab. We were up on some really icy roads, and I jackknifed my horse trailer into the cab of his pickup. It was absolutely one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. Would do it again, and to answer that question, yes, would do it again in a heartbeat, and the executive producer called me the other day and told me to start looking at storylines for season two.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, we're excited for you. We're excited to be able to view this series that's called The Dead End Express. And the first episode, I think, is titled Welcome to the Wilderness. Is that right?
Welcome to the Wilderness. And that is a confusing thing because if you go to National Geographic's website and you Google Dead End Express, and it brings up all these glorious pictures of me, and I really don't look that good normally. But right across the front of me, it says Welcome to the Wilderness. So everybody thinks the show is called Welcome to the Wilderness, but really the first episode's titled Welcome to the Wilderness.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that first episode of Dead End Express. And again, that airs, I believe that's Thursday, May the 7th.
May the 7th. If you're close to Kalispell, you're all invited to come up to the Stonefly Lounge up in Coram. We're having a premiere party.
All right. So that'll be on Thursday, May the 7th, and you can go party with Andy and Bud and Chuck and some of the other folks that were involved in the making of this great program, Dead End Express. And, as we're sitting here doing the show, Tina, we're going to have to get Bud on and talk about what it was like for him as a wrangler to deal with this. And we probably need to get Chuck back on for another show. And Andy, maybe as we get through about half of these episodes as they air, maybe we can get you to come back and visit with us a little bit more.
We'll figure out how to put a speakerphone or something and get the three of us around a table.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we can afford you guys after, first three episodes. But anyway, well, listen,
Bud
thanks
works
so much.
Cheap.
Yeah, okay.
Hey,
yeah.
Andy, am I still going to be your friend?
He's sitting here laughing now, shaking his head, cheaper than that.
Yeah, he's probably saying, just get me my ginger ale and my fan and I'll be in good shape. But anyway.
Yeah, he was all excited to call me Sunday. And he says, hey, you're never going to believe what happened to me. And I said, save me the effort. And he said, I signed my first autograph in 72 years.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, just tell him to get used to it. So anyway, we're looking forward to this show, May the 7th, on the National Geographic Channel. It's the premiere of Dead End Express, and the first episode is Welcome to the Wilderness, starring Andy and Chuck and Bud in the background. So we look forward to that. And Andy, thank you for taking the time to join us today and share this information. We want to talk with you again more as this thing moves forward.
Hey, thank you so much. And I want to say one last thing in going. I just want to thank all of our family and friends because while we went out and had such a great time and this great experience, the wife and my youngest daughter and my wife, they covered the store along with my son-in-law. They ran the whole place. They took care of the ranch. We had people come up covering for Bud up at his place. And nobody, that behind-the-scenes thing is for one person to have a little bit of glory. I mean, there was a whole support staff behind the scenes covering for us while we went out and played.
All right. Well, we'll be watching on May the 7th at 9 Central to the premiere of Dead End Express on the National Geographic Channel. And, Andy, thanks again. Appreciate you so much.
Hey, thanks both of you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Andy.
And
thank you, Tina.
All right. And we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your online source for horse packing equipment, and you can visit them at trailheadsupply.com, and also TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be visiting with Becky Palmquist, the manager of Heart Six Guest Ranch, just outside of Jackson, Wyoming. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
don't come easy, but his eyes are the windows to his soul. His life is like a wheel rolling over and over again, till that woman drove in and she railed him like a wild western wind. Wyoming woman, mountain man, she is the answer to the question he never knew. Billings is where she ran out of gas. They say hope remains when all the stubborn pride in you is gone, gone. Yeah, she was down like a stone that's been thrown, but she was dead down. Braid like a rope down her back. He thought, man, I'd be a fool not to stop and help a gal that looks like that. He said, can I help you? She said, well, I've been helped by men like you enough, but I guess it's all right if you can carry me to town in that truck. She wore a flat truck. This cowboy has been lost for a while. Aw, he didn't talk much, but his dark eyes just blew her away. And as they rolled into Billings, she knew that this was where the cowboy would stay.
Woman and Montana Man, I thought a really appropriate song to bridge our show segments today. We visited with a Montana Man, so we're going to welcome to the show now a Wyoming woman, and that's Becky Palmquist, the manager of Heart Six Guest Ranch in Wyoming. Becky, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Tina. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Glad to have you on.
Great to be
here. One of the prettiest places in the world is the
area
around Jackson, Wyoming. Yeah, yeah. We posted a show picture from your Facebook page, I think.
A video.
Yeah, and a video. But,
oh, great.
But that photo with the Tetons in the background, and I think going out the entrance gate to Heart Six was just absolutely gorgeous. Let's start out, Becky, if we may, talking a little bit about the history of Heart Six, and then we want to talk a little bit about how you became involved.
Well, Heart Six, the original building, we're the main, it's like the cafe. Now it's our cafe. We have a little local cafe called the Buffalo Valley Cafe. And then there was a little house. That was the first building that was on the Buffalo Valley Road. And the Buffalo Valley Road actually was the main highway heading towards Jackson from Dubois from eastern Wyoming before they built the major highway 26, which now goes through, which a major highway is still not a major highway out here in Wyoming. But but it's a lot easier road than the Buffalo Valley. The Buffalo Valley Road is beautiful because it the whole reason it's called the Buffalo Valley is the Buffalo Fork River runs right along the whole road, and it's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful valley. In fact, some of the people from Jackson that have never been out, they may have lived in Jackson for 15 years, and they come out to the valley like, wow, we didn't know this existed out here. It's really, really beautiful with the Buffalo Fork in the backdrop and looking at the Tetons. It's one of the best views in the area.
Well, it is beautiful. I think that I read on your website that the ranch has been there since the late 1800s and maybe had a little bit of a questionable history to go along with it. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, they had the main lodge building was used as a dance hall, and then it kind of became known for some prostitution going on, and so it got closed down. And then it was purchased in the 50s, and that's when it was actually turned into a dude ranch or a guest ranch in the 50s. And then a famous owner that had it at one point was Kenny Sailors, and he was a basketball player that actually had invented the jump shot. And then when he sold it, he moved up to Alaska and did hunting and guiding up there for about 33 years up in Alaska. But he got his start playing basketball, and he actually invented the jump shot.
Oh, wow.
And he's actually still alive and lives in Laramie, Wyoming.
Wow, wow, wow. That's quite a history. But
yes.
This was real interesting to me, and that was talking about a little bit about your background and how you came to be associated with the Heart Six Guest Ranch.
Well, Brian and Millie Harris, they've had the ranch for about 30 years, and he came up here and just loved the area, and he's a hunter. They're from Louisiana. They're a wonderful couple from Louisiana, and so he loves to hunt and just absolutely loves this area. And Heart Six has some hunting camps that are out in the Teton Wilderness area. And so my husband and I were actually working at a ranch down the road, and then that ranch unfortunately went into foreclosure when the economy kind of took a downturn. Guest ranches, a lot of them were hit very hard. And so that ranch went into foreclosure. And so we had been looking for other jobs, and we got hired here just as office manager. My husband and I were working in the office, and my husband was doing some other stuff as well. And then that manager left, and then we were here, and the owner hired my husband and I as the managers for Heart Six. So we originally had been living in Turkey, even though before we even got to the valley, we were living in Istanbul, Turkey, and came here so our kids in high school could have a American high school experience. So that's what brought us to the valley originally. So
you've got to tell us about this beer bottle.
Yes. Well, the kind of all the way around story was my husband, when he was trying to figure out whether he should marry me or not, he flew out. We had some friends that were living in Kemmer at the time, and he flew out to visit them. And so Rich and Eric went up to the Cowboy Bar, and they were sitting there, and they were talking, and he ended up, that's where he decided that he wanted to ask me to marry him. And so that beer bottle sat in our living room on our bookshelf for many years when we lived in Istanbul, Turkey, working with the International Church over there. And so it was kind of a fun thing to come full circle and actually move back to the same area where my husband lived, had decided to marry us. And then we honeymooned in Red Lodge, Montana. So it was very close as well. So
that's great.
This area.
And I think you told me that beer bottle still holds a place of honor somewhere in the house.
Yes, it does. It does.
Gosh. Well, I know Tina's sitting there dying to find out a little bit more about Heart Six Guest Ranch and what your facilities are. Tina, I'll let you take over.
Absolutely. But before we go to the facilities, I think it's kind of neat how the name came about. So can you share with our listeners how the Heart Six Guest Ranch got its name.
Yes, we had a story from the owner and his wife, and she said basically when they first bought it back about 30 years ago, she wasn't sure if she liked the name, and then she heard that the person that owned it prior actually had four daughters and a mother and a wife, and he loved them all so much that he decided to call it the Heart Six. And so once Millie had heard that story, Millie and Brian actually have four daughters, and Brian has a mother and a wife, and he loves all six of them as well. So she thought how appropriate the fact that they have the same family setup as the person that had owned it prior. So they decided to keep the name. And then we actually heard, too, that Kenny Sailors, the basketball player, his number was six as well.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if I haven't really researched whether Kenny was the person that had four daughters or not, or you hear a lot of things, stories, but we like both the stories, so yeah.
Neat. That is really neat. Now let's go ahead and talk about the facilities. Tell our folks what to expect when they come to your place. What do you have there?
Well, we have two. The Heart Six was actually originally two ranches, the Buffalo Valley Ranch and the Heart Six Ranch. So we run a dude ranch in the summer for 9 weeks from the middle of June to the middle of August. Guests come and they have an inclusive week from Monday to Sunday of all their meals, horseback riding. We do cookouts, campfires, paintball, archery, horseback riding every day. We do a guided tour of Yellowstone, a scenic float trip down the Snake River. We have a kids overnight in teepees. It's just a really fun week for people to come. But then the Buffalo Valley Ranch has a few cabins, and they all have kitchens in them. So those we rent out for people that are just coming through on a nightly stay. So we use those cabins for people that just are coming through the area, maybe want to stay one or two nights, and they don't want to do a 3, 4, 5, or 6-night package, like an inclusive package. And so we kind of run both through the summer, and then in our off seasons, we do corporate retreats, we do weddings. We have just family reunions. Like, we have a big family reunion that's booked the whole ranch for just a weekend, the end of August. So there's lots of things that can happen here at the ranch. And we've even done just a day at the ranch that we've had a whole big corporate group of 40 people come up, and we've set up archery and things for them. So it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of activity that's going on all the time. So.
Oh, that sounds great. And you are open year-round.
We are open year-round. In the wintertime, we winter our horses because we get so much snow up here that the horses, it's a lot for the horses to stay up here. So we winter our horses in south of Jackson, and then we bring in snowmobiles. And we run from the middle of December through the end of March, and we have snowmobiling on the Continental Divide, as well as we work with a company to book people into Yellowstone so they can take guided tours into Yellowstone. And it's a great time to see Yellowstone because it's not so crowded as the summer, and it's beautiful. There's a lot of wolves and coyotes. The elk refuge is down in Jackson, so there's thousands of elk that come, and all winter long they stay down on the elk refuge. There's sleigh rides down there that you can take and get right up next to the elk. It's a pretty cool time of year to visit this area.
Wow.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. It sounds absolutely beautiful. What about some, was you getting ready to do a song, Gary?
Well, we need to talk about one of our sponsors. And, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on down in Jackson, because you're not that far away. And so let's acknowledge one of our sponsors right quick, and we'll come back and talk more with Becky. But this segment is brought to you by Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with these cowgirls. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Thank you.
She said, I can do that. It wouldn't take nothing but a whole lot of heart, iron will and gumption. I'll just use what the good Lord gave me. So don't call me honey, and don't call me baby. Cowgirl creed. I dream as big as Texas. Work hard and I'm faithful. I never cease to be amazed, dedicated and grateful. I try to be a good hand when a hand's what's needed. And I'll stay that way as long as I'm living and breathing. I'll die with my boots on. I ride high in the saddle, always saddle my own horse. Still I'm every inch a lady, from the outside to the core. I take the trail less traveled, 'cause I know where it leads. I'll live my life the cowgirl free.
I'm really excited to find out a little bit more about Heart Six Ranch.
Oh, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about, now, you allow people to bring their own horses there to trail ride, plus you also furnish horses. Let's talk about the trails. Tell me about the trails you have.
We have probably over 100 miles of different trails that people
nice.
Can ride, including doing pack trips back into the Teton Wilderness area, which is an incredible spot in America that I didn't even know existed. But it's an area that's preserved that you can only get to by horseback or by hiking. You're not allowed to take any motorized vehicles at all back in this whole area that's been preserved as the Teton Wilderness. So we can do pack trips back there. And then we have lots of day rides right here from the ranch. We have a ride that I love the name. This is my favorite one, the name. It's called Bear Bait. So if you get up there, you got to be careful.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. And then we have another trail that's called the Top of the World. We have a river ride that is down right along the Buffalo Fork River. And then we have a lava creek crossing, which there's a small creek that's up in the mountains, and so you go up a little bit and then you go and cross the creek. So there's lots of different trails that we have. So all during the week our guests can, you know, pick and choose. Some of them like to repeat places. Some of them like to, there's some that have a little bit more areas to canter and trot. It's hard when you're going up the mountains. You don't want to make the horses do too much as far as, you know, riding up the mountains and running. So there's some great meadows once you get up a little bit higher that the kids love to do the trotting and the cantering. So that's a lot of fun as well. So it's just a lot of variety, which is great.
So you have riding for all levels of riders.
All levels, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we have an arena as well, so that if the kids want to do a lesson and really learn a little bit more about some, a lot of kids that come end up coming from English riding, they've done a lot of English riding lessons, so it's fun for them to try out a Western saddle and learn a little bit about Western riding as well.
Neat. Big difference for them, too.
Yes, yes.
What about the terrain? Tell us a little bit about the terrain.
It's very mountainous. The ranch backs up to the mountainside. So as you go up the mountain, you look back behind you, and you just have incredible views of the Tetons right behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are when you get up higher, you'll be going up and down some. But it's a very mountainous terrain, except right in front of the ranch where there's the lower valley, and that's where we have our river ride. So the river ride tend to be a little bit flatter. So for unexperienced riders, we'll keep them a little bit lower. And if people say, hey, I have a fear of height, then you can keep them a little bit lower down along the Buffalo Fork River, so you don't have those high, you're not going up the mountain so much. But I would say 80% of our trails are definitely mountainous.
It sounds beautiful. Sounds like you have beautiful trails.
What kind of elevation do you have there?
We're at between 65, and then probably some of the times when you get up, we'll get up to 7,000, a little bit over 7,000 feet.
Wow. So people that are, if they were to bring their own horses, they really need to have those horses conditioned.
Yes. We very few people actually bring their horse. We allow it, but a lot of people just end up using our horses because they are just a lot more trained, and we have some really nice drafts, and quarter horses is what most of our herd is, and just because they are really used to riding on these trails and,
right.
and with the elevation. You know, just like people have to adjust, horses have to adjust to the elevation as well. And it's definitely, they call it high desert here, so you have to drink a lot of water, and, you know, people do kind of get a little bit lightheaded those first days if they're not drinking enough water and keeping themselves hydrated. So.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you have a little bit of everything as far as trails and the different types of riding and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What about for those that have maybe non-horsey people? What are some other things that they can do there at your ranch?
Well, for the people, one of the things that's included in the package, we actually do a scenic float trip down the Snake River, and that is right inside the Grand Teton National Park. We take a float trip down from Pacific Creek down to a place called Dead Man's Bar, and it's beautiful, wonderful scenery, lots of eagles. One trip down last summer, they saw like 18 eagles, and then there's different birds. Sometimes you'll have elk. And every once in a while, you even get to see, they saw a baby black bear one of the trips down last summer. So there's just lots of wildlife. And it's scenic, so you can take cameras. It's not the whitewater. There is whitewater rafting available south of Jackson. There's a section of the Snake River that's about class three or class four rapids. And we work with a company called Barker Ewing Whitewater. And we allow our guests to go down there and do a trip with them on the whitewater. And that's the only whitewater section on the Snake River that's in this area is south of Jackson Hole. And then we also, everybody goes to the rodeo, which is a really fun night. We take them down early. There's a big shootout put on by the Jackson Hole Playhouse in the town square, just like an old-time shootout, so they get to watch the shootout. Then we have a picnic over at one of the local parks, and then we head over to the Jackson Rodeo, which is a highlight of everybody's week. It's a lot of fun, really, really fun local rodeo, very well done, run. It's run by the Wilson family, and they've been Sylvester Wilson actually founded, was one of the founders of this area. So they have a town named after him now. So that still runs the rodeo. So that's really cool.
That is cool. And there's no fishing or anything around there, is there?
Oh, there's great fishing. It's one of the premier fly fishing areas. The Buffalo Fork River has brown trout, rainbow trout, and cutthroats. So there is just great, great fishing. And it's kind of, there's some little secret spots that are on the Buffalo Fork River that we have a guy, one of our wranglers here at the Heart Six, he's an incredible, loves to fish. And he knows, he can kind of tell you all that. You can't do guided fishing on the Buffalo Fork River, but he knows the good spot, so he can definitely definitely let you know where to go. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And my goodness, you got so much to do right there. Are there any other area attractions that might be attraction to somebody?
There are some golf courses for people that like to golf. We have two golf courses in the area, and there's, for people that are really adventurous, there's actually a hot air balloon ride that you can take down at, if you go down to the village.
That's beautiful.
Yes, it's really beautiful. And then we also have a friend that does some mountain bike tours as well, that we work with him, Teton Mountain Bike Tours. And he does, whether it's through the Teton Park or even on the Buffalo Valley road, there's some great mountain bike trails for sure that you can do in this area as well. It's a really popular thing to do, is to do mountain bike tours.
Oh, my goodness. But it sounds like a gorgeous place. Why don't we tell everybody where you're located?
Okay, so we are located, it's called Moran, Wyoming. It's not Moron. Everybody, people are.
Thank you very much. Moron. I noticed that earlier.
Yes.
I think that was me.
Yes.
That was you. That was you.
It's Moran, Wyoming, and we are about 35 miles north of Jackson Hole, and we're just, the ranch itself, Heart 6, is located just 5 miles east of the Moran entrance of the Grand Teton National Park. And then another thing that, you know, a lot of people, when they come to the Grand Tetons, they're also heading up into Yellowstone. So one of the other things that Heart 6 does for our Inclusive Week, we actually do a guided tour of Yellowstone, because we're only about 45-minute drive from the southern entrance of Yellowstone National Park. So you just drive up through the Tetons, and then there's a whole southern loop that you can go to the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone, Old Faithful, Midway Geyser Basin, which is that one geyser that is in all the photos with the blues and the red, the really cool colors. That huge geyser is there as well. And so that obviously brings in a lot of people just to come visit Yellowstone.
Becky, I don't see how anybody can come and stay and get everything done and seen in a week.
You're right. It is very difficult. Most people are like, "Oh, it's definitely worth a 10-day." I would say a 10-day trip, you're touching the surface, but a 10-day trip you can get a lot in. A 6 or 7 day. That's why we do provide the Yellowstone, because some people don't have much longer than a week as far as vacation goes. But that's why we try to get in as much as possible, and it's a fun-filled full week. But we also want to make sure there's time to relax, because you're also want to leave refreshed and relaxed when you leave from a vacation. So our Saturday on our schedule is a little more laid back. It's a two, you can do an all-day ride if you want to, or you can do a morning ride, maybe take an afternoon nap, and then we have a big cookout Saturday night with a bonfire in the evening, just to kind of make sure people are leaving and they've had that one little day of downtime that they can just kick back and ride if they want to, not ride if they want to, or just relax. So.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, we were talking a little bit earlier, if folks are coming in, a couple of airports that they could fly into would be, Jackson and Salt Lake?
Yeah, Jackson Hole is the closest airport. We're only about 35 minutes north of the Jackson Hole Airport. Salt Lake City it's a lot bigger terminal, so it does have a lot more options as far as flights go. And it's about a five and a half hour drive from Salt Lake up to Jackson. And then Idaho Falls is also, they're growing. They have a regional airport there, so they're a little bit bigger than Jackson, but not too much. So.
Well, it is a great destination. And Tina May, I don't know if your bucket list has grown any, but mine has.
Yep. Well, I had talked to Becky because I wanted to stop there on the way up to Montana riding with Andy into the Bob Marshall, but my goodness, I think I might want to make it a little bit longer stay.
Yeah, you definitely need a couple days at least to explore this area. So.
It sounds like it.
Well, let's give folks your website so they can get in touch with you.
All right, so our website is just www.heartsix.com, and that's everything spelled out, HEARTSIX.com. And then our toll-free number is 1-888-543-2477.
Okay. And you also have a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page as well, and from the website, you can send us an email. You can go in and, you know, fill out information. If you have any questions, just write them there, and we try to respond within 24 hours at the, you know, hopefully even quicker than that. So.
All right. Well, visit their website at Heart 6. Was it Ranch or Heart 6?
Just Heart 6. Just www.heart6.com. Mm-hmm.
Heart6.com or Heart 6 Guest Ranch on Facebook. And we've posted a video of Heart 6 on our Facebook page at Equestrian Legacy Radio. And you actually will see Becky in there. So if you wonder what she looks like, you can check that video out and find out a little bit more about it. This is a great video. Great video.
It is so. It's a very good video. And I also
right.
want
to tell
the listeners
that
they are
a
legacy club.
I will tell you, one of the funnest things is watching the running of the horses. It's my as many times
Love
as
it.
I've seen it every morning and evening when they bring the horses up in the morning and when they let them down out to pasture in the afternoon or late evening. I watch it. I turn from my desk every day, every time I see those horses run up. It's just an incredible sight to watch. So.
Well, I kind of like that video because they called it, and then the thunder rolls, and so that's when the horses are coming in.
Exactly,
so it's pretty cool. Tina May, you were going to say something.
No, what I was going to say is also to let our listeners know and our Select Campground group that they are Legacy Club Select Campground as well. So become a Legacy Club member and get your discount.
All right. All right. Well, we appreciate that. Well, Becky, you have been great to talk with. And,
it's been great meeting you guys as well. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you,
Becky. It's been a joy.
We hope you get out here soon.
Well,
you
we'd love to do that. All right. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you.
All right. Have a great
day.
All right. You too. All right. So this has been a lot of fun talking with Becky. And, again, that website is heart6.com. Visit that. Visit them on Facebook. And beautiful part of the country. And you need to plan on about 10 days plus to get out there and see and enjoy everything that there is to see there. So,
they have so much to see.
Yeah, they really do. Well, we've got a winner this week that we're going to announce for our monthly drawing with the Legacy Club. And before we do that, we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to announce the winner of our Legacy Club monthly drawing. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seed. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Couldn't grow 'em through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting. Here we go. Got the wind in my back.
W. Hampton's Drifting Again, and it has been a fun show. We've been to Montana and Wyoming today. And Tina, why don't you tell our folks about our Legacy Club?
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club membership is free. The benefits are great, like discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and Western vacations. As a Legacy Club member, you are automatically entered into our free prize drawings, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydrohorse watering system from our premier sponsor, Hydrohorse, and our monthly prize drawings, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at EquestrianLegacy.net. This month, winner...
Alrighty.
Love it. This month's winner of a $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack, is Casey Barton from Washington State. Congratulations, Casey.
All right. So congratulations to Casey out in Washington, and she'll be receiving that gift certificate shortly. Tina May, have you had any fun today?
Yes. I had a ball today. Like always, Gary, it's always good to spend my morning with you.
Well, thank you so much, and you as well. But such great guests, and so we're looking forward to watching Andy on the premiere of Dead End Express. And again, that's May the 7th on the National Geographic Channel, and it begins at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And so be sure and tune in for that. And just great to talk to Becky Palmquist at the Heart Six Guest Ranch, just outside of Jackson and Wyoming. What town is that that they're in?
Oh, you would do that to me. It's Moran.
So they're in Moran, Wyoming. And
Not Moran.
So
sorry,
be sure and
visit. Moran.
Yeah, visit their website. That's Heart Six at heart6.com. And so visit with them as well. So anyway, a lot of fun today on the show. We have to remind folks to visit our website, EquestrianLegacy.net, and find out all the information about the Equestrian Legacy Radio Trail Ride and benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And that takes place June the 4th through the 7th at the Circle E Guest Ranch in Winchester, Tennessee, between Nashville and Chattanooga. We're going to have a great time there. And only 4 weeks away. So, folks, be sure and go ahead and get your reservations made. And for folks that may be listening and are not able to come and stay for the whole time, concert tickets are available for Friday and Saturday night. Friday night it will be Templeton Thompson, Stephanie Lane, and the Sawdust Brothers, and then on Saturday night with Michael Martin Murphy. So you can get your tickets at our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. So, Tina May, any final thoughts?
Yes, I just want to highly encourage people to check out some of our sponsors. We've got some really, really neat sponsors, and they got some really neat goodies on our site.
Well, they do. And, of course, if you're a Legacy Club member, you can receive discounts and special offers from our guest ranches and horse campgrounds, as well as our merchants that provide sponsorship as well. So, anyway, it's been a fun show. We want to remind folks that you can join us this Thursday at noon for our live Campfire Cafe with my host, Bobby Jean Bell, from Santa Clarita, California. And we're going to be talking with Mike and Doris Merritt from Oklahoma, and then we'll be joined by, let me make sure I get her name right, that's Lisa Dearson, and she produces the New York City Equus Film Festival. So that's coming up this Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe, And then always on Sunday morning, a great way to start your week is with Belinda Gale, as she hosts Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale at 9 a.m. Central Time. And we want to remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close out the show today with a great song from Clint Bradley. It's called A Fine Horse. And as always, we thank you for listening. Invite your friends to join us for Equestrian Legacy Radio.
There's a dream for sale, but the price is high. There's a dream and me, the gems won't die. When the sun sinks down low in the western sky, I began to dream, I began to cry. And it's calling, calling, and it's calling to me. There's a letter written deep in my soul, I wonder, let be delivered before I'm too old. Riding a fine horse through new country tonight, and the dream gets stronger as the years hurry by. And it's calling, calling, yes, it's calling to me. When it's moonlight and shadows, that's my cowboy time. I dream of a life that could never, oh no, never. This island of rain, I close my eyes and I'm there again. Riding a fine horse through Montana tonight, and the dream will stay with me till the day that I die. And it's calling, calling, yes, it's calling to me, calling, calling, yes, it's calling. Holy!